Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and this is the Progressive Commentary Hour. Our theme today is Wikipedia. Now, for millions of people every day, they go to Wikipedia because they consider it, well, the easiest access to a quality encyclopedia. Whatever they want, they just Google it in and they go right there. So what if I told you that there are those who have spent a great deal of time and energy and scholarship and research to see how objective is this universal operation? My guest, Dr. Tim Coles, C-O-L-E-S, currently in France, is one such scholar. And we're going to find out today, in depth, how Wikipedia has been used by people within the current liberal, corporate, and democratic control machine to use it as a propaganda instrument. They had their own agenda. Who knew? Well, I know, because I've been one of those people that they have targeted for a long period of time. But surely, if they make an error and give misinformation, you can correct it. That's supposed to be what you're allowed to do, but it's not true. Robert Kennedy Jr., Cyril Atkinson, Deepak Chopra, Rupert Sheldrake, and hundreds of other people in the alternative fields of health and other fields as well, including journalism and even politics, have not been able to make any corrections. And then you have a group of people who descend like a group of editorial piranhas to make sure that there is no legitimacy left in the carcass of what remains in this domain of torturous libel that goes on within Wikipedia. Now, I'm not suggesting every editor has such malintent to destroy people's reputations who comes at a topic based upon hidden agendas and malice aforethought. What I am suggesting and can prove, in fact, I'm about to do that in a major lawsuit, actually being served today on the individual. There are multiple people that I'm suing, but it's taken 3 years of meticulous research and writing, along with Richard Gale, over 74 articles challenging the legitimacy of Wikipedia, doing multiple broadcasts, interviewing hundreds of individuals. So I can assure you that what you've been told about Wikipedia is going to be substantially different than the truth of Wikipedia. Dr. Tim Coles is a researcher at the Cognition Institute at Plymouth University in the United Kingdom. He is director of the Plymouth Institute for Peace Research. He is a columnist writing about politics and human rights. His articles have been published in journals and online by Newsweek, The New Statesman, Truthout, Counterpunch, and other very respectable sources. He has frequently co-written essays with Australian investigative journalist John Pilger. He has also written several books, including The Great Brexit Swindle, Real Fake News, Techniques of Propaganda and Deception-Based Mind Control, and most recently, Will Tell You What to Think, Wikipedia Propaganda and Making of Liberal Consensus, which dives into the role Wikipedia plays to serve power with a mission to influence its users through the Orwellian means of doublethink. We're going to be covering today topics as wide-ranging as U.S. and Russia, nuclear war, Al-Qaeda, the Iraq blockade, Israel and Palestine, and also we're going to take a deeper dive into the liberal democratic establishment, such as Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and the media that supports them with no criticism. Nice to have you with us today.
Thanks for the invitation.
I've spoken about the corruption within Wikipedia frequently for the past 3 years. However, our focus has been on its health and medical entries and how those pages have been completely captured by groups and organizations who represent the strictest form of scientific materialism and believe that only pharmaceutical-based medicine is a legitimate science. In their opinion, all medical modalities dealing with natural nutrition, traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, chiropractic, homeopathy, naturopathy, massage, organic foods, and others is, in their words on Wikipedia, quote, pseudoscience and quackery. Over the age of, let's say, I would say 10 or 12, most people use Wikipedia as their primary source of information gathering. Younger people probably are not that interested in doing that kind of research, but once you get into school, a lot of people just use Wikipedia nonstop. But that doesn't mean that it's the source you should be using. But the propaganda has been so complete that people feel connected to it. It's a quick, easy way of finding out superficial, short pieces of information. But what if it's all, at least that which is controlled by certain factions, what if it's all political? And that's dangerous. Over a decade ago, I filed a libel lawsuit against the parent company, Wikimedia Foundation. But that was tossed out of court because the President Clinton's Communications Decency Act, which protects all of Silicon Valley tech companies from libel due to derogatory and defamatory statements made by third parties. And since the encyclopedia is supposed to be open source, in theory, anyone should be able to write and edit on it. And the writers and editors at Wikipedia are volunteers, not employees of the foundation. Therefore, at least in the United States, the foundation cannot be held accountable based upon Clinton's act. And this has always been the systemic flaw in the entire Wikipedia experiment. Anonymous individuals with unknown personal agendas and allegiances and conflicts of interest and educational levels and expertise who can write and edit about anyone to their heart's desire. There is no accountability whatsoever to determine the level of expertise that would warrant an anonymous editor to write on a given subject. That is an introduction, but I would like you to expand upon the internal flaws that permeate Wikipedia, and especially its inherent weaknesses in its rules of neutrality for being captured by conflicts of interest in order to advance personal and private agendas. Isn't this a kind of controlled anarchism? The forum is yours.
Well, in the book, I call it the hidden costs of free information, because anybody can use Wikipedia, but the cost that you pay is that you're being propagandized. Wikipedia is actually an arm of the corporate military intelligence structure. And if we want to understand how it works and who's involved in it, we should look at the structures. And we find that the founder, James Wales, is actually a self-professed libertarian, which in the modern American, as opposed to European sense of libertarianism, means that while you reject government control, supposedly, you accept being under the control of corporations and a monetary and financial system. And Wales is very much a student of Ayn Rand, who escaped the Bolsheviks in Russia. So that's the anti-Russia agenda. And Ayn Rand was part of the mechanism, along with Hayek and Friedman, that created the intellectual conditions for this current economic system called neoliberalism, which has pretty decimated the working classes throughout the world. It was an experiment that was tried on the people of Central and South America in the 70s and 80s, and then brought into Europe, the European Union, through the Maastricht Treaty, and into the United States with Reaganomics, and it continues today. And it essentially means privatize everything and cut back on anything decent and progressive like Social Security or healthcare, and impose austerity on the public during times of crises, and financialize everything. So create a financial market for everything, including big data. And this ties into Wikipedia. So this is the agenda of the founder or co-founder. And Wales, actually, it was reported in, I think, the New York Times or the New Yorker, that Wales enjoys going around with, you know, the who's who of the elite. He's spoken at the World Economic Forum, which is the annual gathering of the corporate bigwigs. He met Richard Branson, who owns Virgin Airlines, on his private island. He married British Prime Minister Tony Blair's secretary. So this is a guy who's very much in with this corporate crowd. I mean, if you want to find something positive to say about James Wales, at least he did not sell out Wikipedia, which is rather contradicts his Ayn Rand philosophy. And there's one headline in, I think, The Atlantic that says, Wales is only worth $1 million. Well, boo-hoo, you know, how many people are millionaires? Not many. So this is the kind of mentality that the media have when reporting on James Wales. And the more importantly than that, because often when somebody is the founder of a company or an organization, the organization takes on a life of its own, and they have less and less to do with it. But actually, Wikipedia has completely followed this trajectory that was set by James Wales. So if you look at the Wikimedia Foundation, which is this multi-million dollar so-called non-profit, it raises money to fund Wikipedia's operations. I call it in the book normalizing conflict of interest, because if you as an individual, let's say, were a consultant for an environmental company trying to do green consultancy, but you had shares in oil companies, you might not be giving the best advice in terms of ecology to this green company, because you want your stocks to do well in the oil company, right? That's a conflict of interest. But the Wikimedia Foundation openly says that we accept donations from, and it's just basically the usual suspects. It's big oil, it's big pharma, it's big finance, it's the military industrial complex. So they accept donations from BlackRock and Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan, from ExxonMobil, from BP Oil. In fact, there was a case where BP were found, one of their employees was found to be basically writing pro-BP public relations spin under the cover of it being an entry in Wikipedia about BP. And there's no actual rules to prevent this in Wikipedia, at least when I researched the book. Maybe that's changed, but there were only guidelines. Well, you don't have to follow guidelines. They're just guidelines. Other donors to the Wikimedia Foundation include BAE Systems, the weapons contractor, Boeing. And one of the guys that supposedly has made millions of edits to the Wikipedia entries, or articles as they call them, is a guy called Stephen Pruitt. And in Wikipedia English language, there are, I think, about more than 6 million entries. This guy Pruitt was supposed to have edited about a whole third of those, but it turns out he uses automated software. He uses Auto Wiki Browser, I think it's called. And here's an example of where this system ties into the military intelligence complex, because other Wikipedia automated systems, one I think was called Rambot, they basically cull information from the CIA's World Factbook, and then it automatically creates these entries. So here we see a completely circular system where these interests and institutions feed into each other. It's kind of like an echo chamber in a way. But anyway, it turns out that Pruitt's parents actually met at a U.S. military base. I think the mother, a bit like Ayn Rand I mentioned earlier, she escaped the Soviet Union. So the founder, Wales, is in a sense anti-Russian. Pruitt, this major editor who uses this automated software, is anti-Soviet, or at least has anti-Soviet background in the family. And he is or was a contractor for the federal government. So when you put all this together, Big Pharma, the military-industrial complex, the banking, the editors who come from these sort of backgrounds, what do you expect the content of Wikipedia to be? It's going to be kind of liberal in the sense that it might be pro-ethnic minority or LGBTQ+, which is good, but this can act as a veneer for more nefarious pro-imperialist agendas. So, for example, if you look at the way that the Wikipedia entry for United States foreign relations compared to Russian foreign relations, we see that it's, you know, pretty biased towards the United States. And that's not the only example. As I say, there are by now millions of articles, many of them on politics. And so one can go through them and find not only bias, but at times, as you mentioned in the introduction, outright slander. The other thing to remember is that the whole system, this neoliberal economic system, it actually forces people into a situation where you have to work one and in many cases two or three jobs just to survive. And increasingly, particularly for younger people, the jobs are becoming more and more menial. And this means that who actually has the time or the expertise to spend their days writing or editing Wikipedia entries? Very few people. On the other hand, these corporations that I mentioned, BlackRock and Exxon and all these, they have plenty of resources to pay public relations specialists to make it their job to edit Wikipedia in order to balance these articles that they may expose the crimes of these companies. They can then pay them to balance it with happy talk about how philanthropic they are. An example of this was David Koch of the Koch brothers, who I think died recently, if I've got the right Koch brother. I believe the Kochs had funded the Wikimedia Foundation. If you look at the use, by the way, archive.org, because as soon as I say anything, they can rewrite the entry. But anyway, if you look at the entry for David Koch, it barely mentions his destruction of the environment through his oil lobbying. It's paragraph after paragraph of what a wonderful guy he was, how he donated to different philanthropic causes, etc. And of course, they don't mention that philanthropy can be a weapon. It can be used to avoid taxes. If you put it into a trust, for example, your money, it can be used as corporate branding to make your corporation look good, like you're doing something good for people. And the other thing to remember is the broader context of how the internet has become. So Google, for example, has 90% of the world's search engine market. So most people are using Google. The people that founded Google were revealed about 10 years ago to be private donors to the Wikimedia Foundation. So it's in both of their interests, Wikipedia and Google, to rank Wikipedia search terms very high in Google. So when you look for something, you know, within the top three or four returns, you're going to get Wikipedia. And this means that you can get this free information, but you're being propagandized. I do say in the book that if it's something like science or celebrity news, then Wikipedia is not too bad. I mean, I would prefer Encyclopedia Britannica, for example. But for politics, it's absolute propaganda. And even with science or celebrities, you have to be careful, because suppose you get a celebrity that's got a particular cause, like, I don't know, Roger Waters from Pink Floyd has been very pro-Palestinian. I haven't looked at his entry, but this is a kind of example where they might be vandalizing his Wikipedia article to portray him as anti-Semitic, for example, because he's backing the Palestinians, or with science. If it's to do with the pharmaceutical industry, as I say, there's the Wikimedia Foundation's backed by these large big pharma corporations. So the entries might be skewed towards synthetic as opposed to natural medicines.
I appreciate that overview. Thank you. Jimmy Wells, as you mentioned, is right now taking a back seat from Wikipedia's operations. He is still largely the public face for the encyclopedia. I know we have documented that, and when it comes to healthcare and medicine and topics such as religion and even body-mind medicine, Wells completely embraces the pharmaceutical paradigm and modern scientific skepticism and the views of people like Richard Dawkins and Daniel Dennett or the radical new atheists. He's on board with them. But where does Wells stand on, let's say, political, international, and ideological issues, and how much of his views are actually reflected on Wikipedia pages? And then you argue that Wikipedia's content reflects its values and the internal structure by which it functions. We have found it virtually impossible to communicate with Wikipedia at any level. We had my lawyers send a very detailed analysis of me being called an AIDS denier, and we tracked that down to who actually originated that. And back in the 1980s, when I was writing major cover stories, 58 of them, for one of the nation's most read magazines, and I looked into everything on AIDS. I also, at that time, owned the Tri-State Healing Center, where we were treating people with AIDS-defining illnesses for free. They never had to pay. 1,200 people, that's a lot of people to treat for free, but we did. And 18 of those people seroconverted, meaning they went from HIV positive and full-blown AIDS, near death, to HIV negative and totally healthy. In addition to that, the 1,200 people who all had AIDS, they were not HIV positive but healthy, they were all sick. And within 16 months, every one of them was healthy, even though the remainder who were not on the advanced protocol still had HIV. Now, you would have thought that having the first reversed AIDS cases in the world and a full board-certified medical staff, I think there was 21 people on my medical healing team, top nurses, nurse practitioners, medical doctors, holistic dentists, that psychologist, one from the Albert Ellis Center, Dr. Donald Mullins, that would have gotten some attention because Anthony Fauci and Big Pharma were spending billions of dollars looking for drugs, and they developed a toxic drug. It was actually developed before, but it was so toxic the National Cancer Institute wouldn't use it, AZT. But that became the drug of choice. And people who were otherwise HIV positive but healthy, meaning they weren't showing symptoms, they started taking AZT and they got very sick. And then you look at the insert and it says the symptoms and side effects of AZT were AIDS. Well, then how do you know if a person was dying of AIDS or AZT toxicity? And that was what was going on. But in that with a background, I wrote some very critical articles and did some very critical broadcasts and specials and produced some documentaries about AIDS, the Real Heroes. That was the first one. People who were taking a different approach, healthy diet, intravenous vitamin C drips at very high doses, ozone therapy intravenous, psychological counseling to focus upon AZT or HIV not being a death sentence. And we saved a lot of lives. So we had a press conference. Nobody came. 7,000 members of the media were invited. Not one showed up. We had a press conference for all the AIDS organizations. Not one showed up. We had a press conference for all the medical community and medical doctors on all these talk shows. Not one showed up. So there was clearly a blacklist. There was a boycott. Don't open that door. Why? Because there was a natural non-toxic therapy that worked. Instead, they started a campaign that all of us were AIDS deniers. Interesting, because we weren't denying AIDS or HIV. We were denying that their treatment made sense, and it didn't. They were killing people. They've never taken responsibility for the deaths that occurred because of their suggestions. And that's how it got on there. But the person putting it on acknowledges in his opening statement that he is biased. Not in Wikipedia, in his article that was used that Wikipedia cited. Now, this is what's important. Wikipedia says it will not use biased material, and it will not attack living persons. That's a lie. It's done both in my case and many other cases. So today, if you're a publisher or if you're someone who wants to interview me and you go to Wikipedia, you see, oh, he's an AIDS denier, you walk away from it. And fortunately, I had already established a 30-year reputation of being correct on my issues as a scientist and also as a nutritionist and a PhD in human nutrition, etc. But nothing that we did, nothing that my lawyers presented with facts allowed a single thing to change. To the contrary, every time that we would try to change something, more and more editors would jump on. That's true today, too. I write an article challenging Wikipedia, and suddenly all this negativity, all lies, none of it true, shows up on my page. Their lawyers say, well, go through a process. That's a game. There is no process. It's all lies from top to bottom. So they know it's a lie. Now that's going to come back to haunt them, because when I go after someone, I don't play games and I don't bluff. So we believe that we have a way of bringing Wikipedia to justice and all the people that it's destroyed, innocent people, that they'll be held accountable for. So from top to bottom, I believe that this is the worst publication in the world. I believe it's done more harm than it could ever do good. Those are my personal thoughts. I'd like to hear yours, please.
Well, in the book, I have a chapter called Manufacturing Consensus, which I actually took from Catherine Mayer, who is the CEO, or was the CEO, of the Wikimedia Foundation. She explained that the whole objective is to find points of agreement among the people that edit the entries, and then create the content for the encyclopedia based on that. So you give your example of the HIV/AIDS clinic. There are many other examples where if this doesn't fit the consensus view of reality, it's not going to be accepted by Wikipedia. Now, whether it's objectively true and verifiable or not does not matter to Wikipedia. The point is, does it fit into this broad neoliberal, I call it a fake progressive socialist, which is actually not real socialism, I call it faucialism. Does it fit into this agenda? And if not, it won't be included, or it will be denigrated in the ways that you mentioned, such as you know, pseudoscience or kook, or a favorite term now is to the point where it's lost all meaning is conspiracy theorist. They say that anybody who has a different opinion is now a conspiracy theorist. So I don't even bother responding to the term anymore, because it's become so evacuated of all meaning. The other agenda that they have internally in their own guidelines is this idea of noteworthiness. Now, if what you say is correct and that you saved lives, that's objectively noteworthy. But if it's not published in something that they regard as a noteworthy source, like Nature or Science or Scientific American, they won't touch it. They consider it not noteworthy, which is a fantastic way of suppressing information. There was a study that I quote in the book by two academics who looked at feminism and aging. And they researched very important grassroots organization, a bit like the kind of thing that you described for HIV/AIDS, but on a different subject. This was about improving the lives of women who were facing old age. And a very well-documented group did important work. And as an experiment, they tried to get this entry created for this organization on Wikipedia. And the internal editor shut it down and said, this has had no coverage in the usual sort of media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Guardian, the Daily Mail, whatever. Although actually Wikipedia has now banned the use of the Daily Mail, ironically, for being fake news. But anyway, so because it had not reached that level of interest in the corporate neoliberal media, it was therefore considered not noteworthy, and there's no article in Wikipedia about this organization. So this is a way to suppress information. So if you have say Black Lives Matter, a very important grassroots organization that could bring about the new civil rights, had that not been picked up by the mainstream media, the corporate media, it wouldn't have got any attention on Wikipedia. There are plenty of grassroots organizations that are doing important work that don't have an entry, don't have an article, because they're not quote-unquote noteworthy. And you could say the same about a book, for example, an important book that for their own internal reasons, the corporate media won't review it. It's too much of a threat to their neoliberal imperialist agenda, so they won't review it. And being this digital echo chamber, Wikipedia won't consider it noteworthy, so they won't have an entry about it. And also, you could say the same about a documentary, for example. If it's not released through a mainstream distributor, it's not going to get any attention. Now, this, I think, is in part a reflection of James Whale's worldview. But more importantly than that, I think it's an overall reflection of the structure of the so-called encyclopedia. I mentioned the normalizing conflict of interest, all these big donors who don't want this sort of information on there. But also, if you look at the people who are the editors, there are studies that I quote in the book of researchers who have found that actually it's overwhelmingly men. So there's a gender bias there. In fact, it's way slanted, like 70% men. There's a lot of misogyny internally, where women editors tend to be shut down quicker. They tend to be more afraid to voice their views because they get more abuse than male counterparts. There's also a bias in terms of the far more entries written about men than women. And the kind of men writing it also tend to be younger, and also they'll have like what they call a liberal arts degree. So again, you're getting this certain narrow perspective where it pretends to have a liberal bias, but actually it's still supporting U.S. imperialism. It still has an inherent sexist bias. It's still going to support the neoliberal economic agenda. And in one example I give, a perfect example of that would be Hillary Clinton. I mean, this is the perfect for the fake liberalism. Here's a female leader, Democrat, progressive, and the entry, I mean, they change all the time. So as I say, you should look at in archive.org in case what I'm saying is different now. But one of the versions of the entry that I analyzed, they were basically taking all of their sources about Hillary Clinton completely out of context. What I call real feminist movements like Code Pink, which are very passionately anti-war and actually care about women in the Third World and care about the female victims of U.S. imperialism, they had, you know, really terrible things to say about Hillary Clinton. All of that's omitted from the Wikipedia entry, at least the version that I looked at. And instead, it's this total whitewash of how great Clinton was and what a pioneer she was for feminism. So this is an example of the kind of male sexist bias that creates a kind of fake feminism and a fake liberalism that actually supports U.S. imperialism.
Would you believe it? Excuse me. Would you accept that in its current state, irrespective of what its original ideals were, that it acts in part more like an inquisition? They deem you guilty, no matter what, and they come after you. You haven't put yourself up there on Wikipedia. I never entered anything about myself on Wikipedia. And then they just, they take in their special role as being anonymous. You never know who they are. They can try to destroy you. And there is no opportunity for you anywhere in Wikipedia land to correct that. Now, could this be, and I'm asking this as a speculative question, could this be that Wikipedia, at least some of its individuals, are really under the control of U.S. corporations and the military, industrial, or spy complex, or the deep state?
We have clear examples where that has happened. I think I mentioned earlier the example of BP, where they employed somebody to give their company a good spin. There's one particularly shocking example. I believe she's called Susan Burke, and she is a lawyer who represented the Iraqi victims of U.S. British imperialism. And her Wikipedia entry was vandalized and her reputation was damaged. And she suspected it was by employees of a mercenary company called Blackwater, which probably many of your listeners have heard of because it's pretty notorious.
Eric Prince's
entity, which it keeps changing its name. Every few years they rebrand it, but at the time it was called Blackwater. So Susan Burke actually tried to sue Wikipedia to release the names of these vandals who were slandering her. And I think the District Court of Columbia judge ruled against her and ruled in Wikipedia's favor that they could retain their anonymity because, as you said, they have this Section 230 of the Communications and Decency Act, which is an example of state intervention to create corporate monopolies. I mean, if Facebook and Twitter had to take responsibility for content, their business model would be in trouble because they'd have even fewer products to sell people and they'd be getting hit with lawsuits all the time. So the state, successive U.S. administrations have helped these corporations to become multi-billion dollar enterprises by refusing to crack down on this libel and slander and to allow them to say, and Wikipedia included, we're just a platform. We're not responsible for any content on the site. There's also anonymity in the case of Burke. She couldn't actually get the names of these authors because they're allowed to create these pseudonyms and these fake names. There's also the growing phenomena of automated journalism, where you don't even know if it's a robot that's written this about you. It would be quite easy to program these days software to write slanderous material, just as I think the LA Times a few years ago had a robot to write a report about an earthquake that had happened. And this is the same model. You said it was difficult to contact anyone at Wikipedia. This is the model that big tech is using. It's like the ultimate tyranny. They're totally faceless corporations. And when you try and contact someone at Amazon or whatever, if you get a reply, you don't even know if you're talking to a robot. And we know that on Twitter, with huge celebrities and politicians, half of their followers, scholars have studied this. They've looked in depth at the alleged followers, and they found that half of them are not even real people. They're just artificially boosting their profiles by getting fake followers. So this absolutely does go on. And I mentioned in terms of it's being tied into the military intelligence complex, I mentioned that they use robots to cull information from the CIA's World Factbook. Also, the NSA, the National Security Agency, if I've got this correct, they had their own internal Wikipedia called Intellipedia, in which they wanted to share information among each other by using the similar sort of style as Wikipedia. Under the Obama administration, the Army had planned to create combat field manuals, again based on Wikipedia, that they could edit and so on. This ties into the broader agenda of what Eisenhower famously called the military-industrial complex. After 9/11, it became like a military-intelligence complex where, on the pretext of going after terrorists, everything had to be about data and surveillance. And now we see the result of that, where you have a massive explosion in big data and data brokers and advertisers. And a lot of it came out of the CIA. So the Google itself was seed funded with InQtel, which was the CIA's venture capital firm. And Google Maps was a CIA program called EarthViewer. And this has been the history of U.S. innovation. You get the taxpayer to pay for it through the military. And the military developed stuff like touchscreens, which were originally designed for Air Force pilots. And then somehow Apple gets hold of that technology and uses it in their iPhones. And then, so you pay for it twice. You pay for it as a taxpayer. Then when you go and buy the product, the iPad or the iPhone, you pay for it again. And of course, the planet is the biggest thing that pays for it, because the rare earth metals are extracted from basically child labor in Congo. And then they're assembled in basically slave labor conditions in China. And we got to say allegedly, and in my opinion, because of libel, although this has been documented by many human rights groups. And then you have what's called planned obsolescence, where after a few years, the phone is no good anyway, because the software updates or it goes wrong. And you can't even repair it when it goes wrong. That's why in Europe, there's this new push called Right to Repair, where people are pushing for legislation where a product has to be repairable. Because otherwise there's just this ongoing culture of wasting everything every few years, getting a new phone or a new car, whatever it might be. So we see with these examples, we can see how the whole of Wikipedia, whether it's funded by Big Pharma or weapons contractors, whether it's Google, which, as I say, started out from the CIA, driving content to Wikipedia by ranking it high in the search results while suppressing other websites through suppression algorithms, we see how this all ties in together.
I suspect, and we filed a complaint with the IRS on this matter, that it runs a pay-to-play scam that is disguised as donations. I can only speak with certain evidence about the medical field, because Wikipedia receives donations from the drug companies Amgen, Biogen, Bristol-Myers, Merck, Pfizer, and one of the largest healthcare providers, United Health. It's also very close in this relationship with and receives millions of dollars from the parent company Google, Alphabet. which in turn has medical collaborations underway with Glaxo, Merck, and Novartis. In fact, Alphabet now owns two separate pharmaceutical companies. And finally, there's a large collaboration underway between Wikipedia and the National Institutes of Health for writing medical entries on the encyclopedia. And then we are now being informed that Google is going to be using Wikipedia for its fact-checking on issues like health. So if you write something as a physician or scientist that questions anything on COVID or vaccines or anything in the medical field, Wikipedia then would see that that's incorrect and Google would censor it. But now we also found out that Google was one of the sponsors of the gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab through its donations. And that's actually on the scientific paper. No one knew this before. So now you have a man named Peter Daszak, who was the top person that Anthony Fauci gave money to, who then gave it to the University of North Carolina and the Wuhan lab to create gain-of-function research. He's actually acknowledged that in television interviews, too, that I've seen. So guess who becomes the leading truth definer for Google? Well, Peter Daszak. And guess who becomes the person who selects the 27 scientists who says, this is of natural origin, it wasn't genetically engineered in any way in a laboratory? Peter Daszak. Well, now yesterday, The Lancet expunged Peter Daszak and challenged all the people who wrote the letters saying all this was from natural origin and, don't go into conspiracy theories. They're asking them, take another look, and how many others of you would like to change your mind? And those people have been called out now. They've been exposed and as being, complicit in misinformation. And then we find out that Mark Zuckerberg, owner of Facebook, had the person who was qualifying all legitimate material that could be published on Facebook, Peter Daszak. I mean, this guy is up to his eyeballs in conflicts of interest and may end up being one of the architects of the entire coronavirus pandemic, he and Anthony Fauci, and funded by Google. And yet none of this is appearing in the mainstream media. That's how much control they have, or fear. So you have all these collaborations. So now the National Institutes of Health, that is virtually controlled by Anthony Fauci, is selecting Wikipedia to qualify all of its medical entries. Well, that's just insane. But again, no one is aware of it, so no one's challenging it. And think of all the corporate interests behind the scenes who are glaring examples of how manipulated Google is. Your thoughts, please.
Well, you mentioned earlier about doublethink and Orwellian doublethink. This is a good example of it because, to my amazement, although I guess I shouldn't have been that amazed, on one of the pages, Wikipedia says that it is not a reliable source, and that the entries are subject to vandalism or bias. So it's all over the place. And yet, I quote in the book that, although they've since removed it, but you can consult archive.org, at one point they were saying that they want to become a trusted source for information about COVID-19. So on the one hand, we're not reliable, but we'll publish millions of articles on different topics, which makes you wonder what sort of integrity they have anyway, if they say we're not reliable, but we publish. And on the other, they're saying, yes, we're reliable and we want to be a trusted source for COVID-19. This is absolute cognitive dissonance and doublethink. That's a prime example of it. And we found that in the UK, there's the scientific advisory group on emergencies called SAGE, not very sagacious, actually. They had hardly any or maybe no virologists on the team, and yet they were supposed to be this, you know, crack group that was going to help the UK to deal with the COVID pandemic. But the government wouldn't allow any virologists to get involved. So they were rather stuck. And it turns out that they were actually consulting Wikipedia and basing their models on Wikipedia entries. And it seems like you can't escape Wikipedia. I was at one time slandered by an organization that should be on my side. It's called SourceWatch. And they, you know, they're kind of, they pride themselves on exposing corporate wrongdoing, right? But they base the website's based on a Wikipedia kind of platform. And they basically labeled me a conspiracy theorist. So I wrote to them to explain that, you know, we should be on the same side. Look at the kind of places I publish, Truth Out, Counterpunch. To their credit, they did amend that. But the thing about the internet is there's so much information, information, disinformation, outright lies and slander, that you would exhaust yourself going after everything that's said about you. So it can be good for oneself just to let it go. But the thing about Wikipedia, it's so dominant that when they inflict reputational damage on you, it can have serious effects on business. I mentioned Susan Burke, the lawyer. She actually suffered financial damage because of it. And this is a way of doing what Catherine Mayer said, building a consensus where if you're not part of the groupthink, if you don't conform to their neoliberal consensus view of reality, they will do kind of like a modern digital witch hunt and just make you out to be crazy or even dangerous or demonic in some way. And that way, I think they try and make people so afraid of being nonconformist that you just accept the groupthink and that you change your ideas so that then your Wikipedia entry can say nice things about you. And this is an enormous amount of power that an entity can have. But I would just reiterate that they're not operating in a vacuum. They're operating within the whole Google matrix of everything becomes this big circle. Another example of that would be YouTube, which Google or Alphabet bought a few years ago. If you look for certain topics like 9/11 being an inside job, or I don't know, Illuminati, or something popular among conspiracy researchers, there's a knowledge panel that comes up on YouTube. And the knowledge panel tells you what they want you to think the truth is, that 9/11 was not an inside job. And the link to it is Wikipedia. They've started to change that in recent years, I've noticed, and they've linked more to the Encyclopedia Britannica, which might be an indication that many more people are starting to realize, like us, that Wikipedia is not what it pretends to be. Or doesn't pretend to be. There's going back to the double think, where on one side it says we're not reliable. But anyway, more and more people might be becoming aware of this, so YouTube switching to Encyclopedia Britannica. But for a long time, these knowledge panels would direct you to Wikipedia, so you'd have Google ranking Wikipedia high in the search results, and then you'd look at a video on YouTube and be redirected back to Wikipedia. An example of that is one that's still up there at the time that I am saying this. If you look at the BBC, for example, not anything to do with COVID, because then there's a different link, but non-COVID related stuff on the BBC on YouTube, it says the BBC is a public service broadcaster, and it links to Wikipedia. If you look up RT, it says RT is funded in part or whole by the Russian government. Well, BBC and RT are the same entities. They're both propaganda systems for the state. One is propaganda for Russia, one is propaganda for Britain. So a real encyclopedia, an honest one, would say both are state-funded propaganda systems, and that's it. But one is biased against Russia, and one is favorable towards the BBC. So that's an example where the whole corporate military intelligence establishment links into Wikipedia.
Tim, unfortunately, we're out of time. I want to thank you very much for your good work on a book that is a must-read. It's entitled We'll Tell You What to Think, Wikipedia Propaganda and the Making of Liberal Consensus. My guest is Dr. Tim Coles, C-O-L-E-S. Thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you.
Tim's talking to us via Skype from France. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening and have a nice day.